Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, peeps, I am uber pumped because I've got a bacon brother from another mother on the show. His name is Brad Costanzo, and he has one of my favorite podcasts that he runs called Bacon Wrap Business. I love the show, and I love the man. I love the way he does his interviews. So, Brad, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome, dude. I'm so pumped to connect with you because, like I say, I've been listening to your show, and I love having other podcasters on, man, because you get this. You get this medium and how to communicate with people, and I love the way you do interviews, so I wanted the opportunity to do that with you.
Awesome.
So today I want to start out, man, by first and foremost letting people know your origin story. How did you go from being somebody who was in the financial industry to losing it all to now all of a sudden you run this incredible marketing agency that does amazing things out there?
Thanks. Yeah, you know, it was kind of a wild and twisted story like everybody's is, but in general, all my life I had been in some form of sales or consulting, and I was a financial advisor for years with Prudential Securities. And long story short, when the market, you know, started, the bear started roaring and it got ugly, and I couldn't produce. I lost my job. And it was interesting. I was always really good at sales. And I liked that part. I liked presenting. I liked persuading people to give me money. I knew nothing about marketing, lead generation, or any of that nature. So I was always relying on just cold calling and just being, you know, just tenacious. But I wasn't that tenacious. I hated it every minute of the cold calling. So when I lost my job, this is like back in 2007, I think, and it was right in that beginning of the recession. I had just so happened to also read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and it was, you know, that inspired me that, okay, there's another option here to just going out and getting another job. And a lot of people say, well, why did you get into like internet marketing and why did you start that? Was it because you wanted to work a 4-hour week and make millions of dollars? And it was, quite honestly, no. I was just really scared and disgusted with the idea of putting together my resume and going out and asking somebody to bless me as worthy of giving a paycheck to. And I just didn't want to do that. I said, well, I'd rather take what little severance I had and put this to work and try to figure out how to build an online info product, because this seems really new and interesting, and why the hell not? I've always kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit. So my very first product in online marketing, because I didn't feel like an expert in anything, I didn't know anything else besides, hey, find something you're an expert at and create a course on it. So my buddy gave me the idea because he had seen me do bar tricks, like little magic tricks, like making a pack of matches disappear, making a bar napkin disappear. And I would always have fun and just do it, sometimes cheesy, sometimes just an icebreaker. And it would always work when I was flirting with girls, but I never thought much of it. It was just I liked little bar tricks. And he gave me the idea. He's like, well, why don't you create a course teaching guys how to use bar tricks to break the ice with girls? There's this huge market online of, you know, dating advice.
Yeah.
I was like, that's just so crazy it might work. So, and I was like, well, and I know I'm not an expert in anything else. At least I didn't think I was at the time. So started a course that just taught bar tricks. And I think the key to success there was that I used it as a marketing laboratory. I really wasn't caring about working 4 hours a week. I wasn't caring about how much money could I make. I just wanted to get the skill sets to understand marketing and lead generation and advertising, and I was just fascinated by all of it. So I built that business almost completely on the back of the strategic partnerships and joint ventures that I created in that niche. And I have personally been responsible for more strategic partnerships in the dating advice, relationship advice niche than anybody out there, because I created a kind of like the only, and it's still like, I don't know, it's 8 years later, a mastermind for that niche that's still going strong that helped connect the JVs together. Look, you know, skipping ahead during that, you know, the 5 or 6, maybe 6 years that I owned that business, I started publishing other information products. and, you know, starting to learn just the ins and outs of all aspects of internet marketing. And I tried a bunch of different stuff, you know, with my little shiny object syndrome, mm-hmm. ADD squirrel syndrome, right? And I failed at a bunch of stuff. I got really good at a bunch of stuff. And by process of elimination, I kind of realized what I was good at. And in late 2012, I believe it was, yeah, I sold my publishing business of info products to a group of investors from New Zealand, and they took over it and they cashed me out. And there I was, starting from scratch again, but this time, fortunately, with more money in my pocket. And I didn't know what to do. I knew that I didn't just want to go out and start a brand new info product or another business, because contrary to popular belief, it's nothing automated about it in the beginning, and it's a lot of work, and I was a little bit burned out. So I started asking my friends, hey, what do you need help with? What's a nut you're trying to crack? And I slowly started, you know, finding opportunities to help some of my friends who also had businesses make a bunch of money using the tactics and strategies that I had developed over the years. And then that led to another client, that led to another client after client after client. And I've been, for the past 3 years or 3.5 years, kind of behind the scenes in a lot of ways, working with some really big marketing companies, or just companies, helping them to direct their marketing strategies, optimize their sales funnels, their sales processes, their scripts, and kind of using all the little tricks in my, or, you know, tools in my toolbox to help them grow their business. So consulting, really, for the past 3 years, and, you know, kind of summing up and rounding out the really the past year. Back in October, my wife wanted to become a entrepreneur as well. She'd been living with me long enough. She had this idea, and I said, "Yeah, let's do it." So she, you know, she's from Brazil. She wanted to start a coffee company. And we started a coffee company primarily geared and branded and marketed towards women. And there's a whole story behind this, but it's called Stiletto Coffee. And I've been helping to spearhead the marketing, the launch of this, something I really don't know much about, but I know the concepts, and it's been going good so far. And then throughout the past 2 years, I've been telling my stories, interviewing experts, picking the brains, and getting a lot of awesome advice from the experts that I interview on my podcast, Bacon Wrapped Business. So that is my origin up till now story in the short version. Yeah, and in between there, I went bankrupt. I take that back. I never went officially bankrupt. I did lose everything I've got twice in my life from stupid things, but I kind of skip over those sometimes.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I got the same kind of story. I mean, going back to ground zero as opposed to actually filing bankruptcy. So, I mean, there were so many little knowledge bombs embedded in all that stuff that you talked about. I mean, building the knowledge products or the info products. One of the things you do a lot of is equity joint ventures, which would be another show mm-hmm. I'd love to dig into. How you get great podcast guests, which you got the golden Rolodex, man, and your masterminds. I mean, you've got so many different things that you do. But the thing I wanted to focus on today is Stiletto Coffee, because you've done info products and now you're digging into this physical product, which is a whole different market to a very niched out audience. So, you know, when you started doing this, what were the first kind of things that you were thinking about? How did you decide on that niche? Why did you decide on that niche? And how did you come up with, you know, kind of the initial concepts of what you're going to do?
Awesome question. So, I was on my honeymoon in Greece. We were gone for 3 weeks and back in September, and I had a lot of downtime just hanging out with my wife. And we've been together we got married after 9 years of dating, so she's been with me for a long time. She actually saw she was with me when I had a job. And she's seen the ups and downs and everything else, and she's a really successful mortgage broker or mortgage loan officer. And she wanted some freedom, and she wanted to do some other stuff. And now the quick backstory, which is really important to the origin of this, is that, you know, she's from Brazil. She grew up very humbly. She moved to the U.S. knowing no English. She was with an ex-husband, and he cheated on her. She had a fork in the road. Right? Go back to Brazil, where I don't have much opportunity. No college education. Very smart girl, but no college, not formally educated. And then she went to. Then she decided to stay in the U.S., and everything she's done, she's just got the most incredible work ethic, and she's just kicked butt at it, rose to the top of her field. And it's a cool American immigrant turned American success, you know, female success story in the U.S. And, you know, coming from Brazil, one of her things she loves is she's an aficionado of coffee. So it's one of the things she knows. And if I'm ever working with coaching clients or students or people that I'm just giving advice to about, you know, what should they do if they're starting over from scratch, you know, I always say, well, look back at your past experience, kind of like I did with magic tricks. What do you know? And she knew coffee, and she knew you know, a lot about it, and she didn't know about a whole bunch of other stuff. But I was like, okay, let's explore that. What could be done? So then, obviously, it was like, okay, well, what if we did coffee? Well, we don't want to start a coffee shop, but, you know, from my experience and my friends and other stuff, I know enough about the basics of creating a physical product to sell on e-commerce, both on our own side, on Amazon, etc. So I said, okay, well, what if we did coffee? What if we created a brand of coffee and shipped it out to people, to consumers? So the biggest problem there is that's a really competitive niche. How the hell do you stand out? And one of my favorite books is called Blue Ocean Strategy. I don't know if you've read it or
not. Oh, dude, I love that book. I talk about it all the time. Yeah, all the time.
Right, and the quick synopsis for your listeners is that if you're in there's a red ocean, which is where all the fish and sharks are feeding, and there's a lot of blood in the water. Obviously, competitive markets are great, but when it's so bloody, it's such a red ocean, it's kind of hard to stand out. So how do you find a blue ocean? How do you find an area that somebody, you know, that opportunity exists and it's underexploited? At the same time, how do you make sure that you don't get into a completely blue ocean that there's no demand there for a reason, right? Like, by the way, the using bar tricks to impress women, that was a hard one because nobody was out there selling to that market. It meant there wasn't a big demand, so I had to generate that demand, which was really, really tough. I'm starting to face that here. So we decided, well, how do we stand out in a really red ocean? How do we zig when everybody's when everybody else is zagging? And that brings me back to one of my favorite marketing principles of all time from Eugene Schwartz, a classic, you know, now long since deceased advertising guy, who talked about, I think it was in Scientific Advertising, the concept of the five levels of market sophistication. And to make a long story short, every product or market goes through five different levels of how sophisticated and cynical they are in relation to the products that are being out there. So the very first time somebody comes out with a product, or when there's very few competitors, you simply make a claim. So for instance, he uses the idea of cigarettes back in the days, like in the, you know, earlier 20th century, just make a cigarette. These taste great. And then people try them. The first time a diet pill ever came out, all you had to say was, take this pill, you'll lose weight. That's it, right? And then it was like, oh my God, I've never heard about that before. That's amazing. I'll take it. So then it catches on, and then with cigarettes, these are the best tasting cigarettes. These are better tasting than that. These are different flavors. With diet pill, it's like lose weight faster, lose weight the fastest, lose a million pounds a minute, right? It gets so, the claims get so saturated, which is where now the market's hurt at all. It doesn't believe anything. So that's level one, make a claim. Level two, make a bigger claim. Level three, in order to stand out, you have to introduce a mechanism to make it work. So that mechanism is, with cigarettes, it was, we're going to introduce filters. It's a kind of a gimmick, right? Oh, but maybe it makes the flavor, or make it, you know, whatever, changes it up. With diet pills, maybe it was introducing certain types, like, oh, this is Garcinia Cambogia. That's what makes you lose a million pounds a minute. Oh, cool, now it makes sense. And now somebody else comes out and they introduce a better mechanism. With internet marketing, it was like the first time you said, you can make money online, hey, sign me up, that's cool. And then it's like, you can make millions of dollars online. You can make money in only 4 hours a week. But all those are claims. Those aren't mechanisms. So then the mechanism started coming out, which was, you can make money with SEO. You can make money with this. You can buy this software that you simply install it and push a button and money flies out of your floppy drive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So back to the level four, it's make a claim, make a bigger claim. Introduce a mechanism, introduce a better mechanism. By now, at the top of the fourth level of sophistication, which is where coffee's at, by the way, which was, you know, Folgers and Maxwell House way back in the day, and then Starbucks came out, and it's like, oh, we're better, we're more gourmet, we're this, that, and the other. And now there's even a new level of gourmet where Starbucks is now thought of as just like what Folgers used to be thought of as. But everybody, here's the key, everybody's still talking about their product. They're selling their product. Product. At the fifth level, which is like the big evolution, you stop talking about your product and you start selling to your demographic based on emotions, based on story, based on making it for them. So with cigarettes, he said, they realized that, wait a minute, we haven't even been marketing this to women. So they came out with, I think it was either Chesterfield or Virginia Slims, but one of them was the first cigarette ever marketed towards women. Now, the tobacco is tobacco. Maybe the shape of it is a little smaller, but it's not like a pink cigarette, and it's not anything special in the tobacco. It's just marketed towards women. Same thing that I did, because I knew this formula, I realized that, well, we're at the fourth level of market sophistication. How do we break through the noise? Well, we started having that conversation, and it was, you know, her idea, where she's like, well, what if we sell it to women? Of course, I did say the cigarette story. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, what would that look like? Okay, well, so the branding would be sassy and classy, and it would be this, that, and the other. And, well, how do we name it? And I thought, well, what is it that women love? Besides, like, let's not think about coffee. What do women already have a really positive association with? And it's like sexy shoes. Mm. Right? Every woman loves shoes. So we started thinking, well, what kind of shoes? Heels. And then we both look at each other like, oh, stilettos, like stiletto coffee. And the minute we said it, we knew we had something kind of catchy. But then we knew, okay, well, how are we going to brand, like, what else makes this about women? We decided to have an impact program where a portion of the profits are going to go to women's initiatives programs, be it charities, or even we're starting to do microloans to women-owned businesses using cool. Kiva and other stuff. So just finding different ways to kind of impact the demographic. And at the end of the day, we've realized, you know, we're building a brand. We're not selling coffee. You know, we're selling women. Now, we're not, you know, like selling women, but we're selling to women. Right? We're selling to women. We're selling women on the idea of our brand, of our coffee, of the feeling that holding, you know, the sexiest packaged coffee in the world gives you, which comes in a, like a black satin drawstring gift bag with positive messages on it. So we want them to be like, this coffee is awesome. It's amazing premium coffee. And it's for us.
Right.
Right? So that is the, you can tell I've told this story a couple times, right?
Right. So,
But that's the kind of the backstory, and then we had the idea in October, and then we launched it in January, and so far, you know, it's about 6 months in, five, 6 months in, and, you know, we're trying to figure it out. It's growing. It's not growing as fast as I want, but it's hard because it's not a direct response business, which is what my background is in. It's all branding. So for any of your listeners out there who haven't been in this business for very long and they kind of feel frustrated, like, oh man, I'm a total newbie at this and I'll never figure this out. Well, I always feel like a newbie at something. Like, if you're not feeling like a newbie at something, you're not growing.
Absolutely, dude. I mean, and it's funny because I do these, part of what I do in my marketing is on Facebook, every single morning I do the quote of the day. And the end of the day, I do a caption contest, which is goofy pictures that people comment on. And this morning, my quote of the day is, I'm always doing what I cannot do yet in order to learn how to do it. Vincent Van Gogh. And it's exactly the same thing, man. It's like, it's amazing. And then one of my other favorite podcasts with you, which or I've listened to, is Alex, is it Toby or Tubi?
Alex Tubi, yeah.
Yeah, Alex Tubi.
Instagram marketing.
Yeah. Right, and that was Men with Coffee, and I listened to that, and you were talking a lot about that. And I think one of the things that I've been following, you know, the kind of things that you've been doing, and I sense the struggle is, how do you take this brand and create a tribe with it? I mean, that's mm-hmm. I think is one of the hardest things, is like, okay, you can get people behind it, you know, and people will love it and they'll order it, but how do you create a tribe? How do you create the people that are evangelizing about Stiletto Coffee, and what have been your struggles with that?
That is a great, great point. So the goal has been, A, to get it in the hands of people who are like more tribe leaders, right? The influencers.
Right.
Influencer marketing can be really big. The other thing is with the packaging, with the story, if you go to stilettocoffee.com, you'll see a little story selling video that we did. It's like an interview with, interspersed with some B-roll and stock footage. Just, it kind of tells a story of Kenya, the founding of the company, the brand, what it's about, and what it kind of stands for, and just trying to appeal to the emotions. Also with the styling of it, trying to just capture that feeling of, wow, this is different, this is remarkable, this is kind of cool. And then at the same time, the other things that we can do, because we have a very much of a female empowerment vibe mm-hmm. to the company and to the messaging. And some of the big ideas, I've got so many ideas, just little time, less time to implement the ideas, right?
Right.
But is doing more content marketing and providing more motivation and insight, whether it's in a Facebook group or whether it's in a, you know, just content that we put out there. There is, it's kind of hard to say. And, you know, the challenging part is my wife, although she is good on camera, it's not natural for her. It's hard for her to just create a lot of content on her own mm-hmm. and do the kind of content marketing that like you and I might do, such as like starting her own podcast or doing a bunch of videos. It's just not natural. Not everybody loves that.
Right.
And the truth is she is still working her other job as a mortgage officer. She makes a lot of money there, so she can't yet just walk away because we're still in startup mode. So it's balancing that time of finding the influencers, generating the buzz, creating the you know, the awareness in the market. And the other challenge, and anybody out there who's listening who has who's done physical products probably knows too, because this is what's new to me, is I'm used to the digital and selling air with really high margins. The margins on coffee are crap. Like, I mean, they're really bad. So because you can only price it so premium before people are just not going to buy it. And even then, you're not making a lot of money. So my cost per customer acquisition right now is really, really high. So I don't want to spend a dollar and make 50 cents. Right now, that's what we're doing. So we have to go into the hole in order to generate, you know, pack that snowball
right.
to get it rolling down the hill. But the next big push for us is big journalist outreach, influencer and journalist outreach, and trying to get that kind of exposure that pushes it forward without just buying traditional direct response ads. So I'm breaking all of my normal rules, which is don't do just branding advertisements and just do direct response, but sometimes those don't work.
Right. Well, a couple of things I wanted to say right off the bat. Number one, I mean, the quality of the website itself is just outstanding. I mean, the video, opening video you've got, you know, that whatever it is, your header video, the quality of the photography, all the stuff throughout it is, you guys put a lot of time, energy, and money into that. That's obvious. The other thing that just as you were talking that popped into my head, man, is there's a lot of people I think that would like to interview your wife just about her story. And yeah. I think that's one of those kind of things where she doesn't have to generate the content, but basically write some tales. And we could talk about that after the show, too. I know some people who would love to talk to her and talk to her about that story. And I think that's one of the ways that you build that groundswell is, you know, you talked about influencers. You've got some great influencers out there who've got established podcasts who are focused 100% on women. And, you know, that's where I think there's a lot of opportunity for you guys. That just popped into my head, so I wanted
to... I appreciate that. And it's kind of funny. I've got her booked on one coming up, and she gets... It's cute, but she gets so nervous. Like, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about? I'm like, let them... They're professional interviewers. Let them just ask you questions and answer them. You don't have to... It's not like you're standing up in front of a group and giving a speech.
Right.
So, yeah, that's something I definitely want to do more of. But that's great, and any, you know, introductions there... You know, would really be amazing because it's an awesome story and it's fun and it's the, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's the birth of a brand and we don't know where the brand is going to go. I, you know, ideally, Pete's Coffee will see us and say, "Oh my gosh, we need to own them for millions and millions of dollars."
Exactly. But, you know, awesome, Brad. Man, you got some awesome, awesome advice, man. You dropped some sizzling hot knowledge bombs on my peeps. But you've got more. If people wanted to kind of check out Stiletto, can you tell us how they can do that?
Yeah, you can go to stilettocoffee.com and check it out. And, I mean, if you, the people listening to your show are marketers, so I, obviously recommend you purchase a bag of the coffee and, you know, enjoy it and see what happens. And by the way, if anybody wants a 25% off, I believe it's 25% off discount code, just use the code BACON at checkout on stilettocoffee.com. And you can kind of take a look at what we're doing there. But that's probably the best place to go there. We're just now getting on Amazon and kind of getting it cooked up there. But we offer free shipping on our website, Stiletto Coffee, as well. So it's, you don't really save anything from going to Amazon to buy it. But, yeah, use the coupon code BACON for that.
Awesome. Hey, my bacon brother from another mother, that's all I'm going to say. I am such a fan of your website and your podcast and all the stuff that you do. I'd love people to be able to get a hold of you, so give them that information as well.
Cool. So the podcast, you can subscribe. If you're on iTunes listening, it's also on Stitcher. You can just search for Bacon Wrapped Business, or just go to baconwrappedbusiness.com, and there's links there to the iTunes feed, and you can subscribe right there and listen on the blog. And the other thing you can do is, if you have any questions, if you have any feedback for me, if you have any if you have any ideas or just questions, maybe you like the way I've thought and you want to ask me a question about yourself, my personal email is just askbrad@baconwrapbusiness.com. So feel free. That, I read all those emails, and I'm, happy to field any of your callers. But that's really the best place. Bacon Wrap Business is kind of a jumping off point for everything else that I do.
No, it has been a blast, man. I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time. And when you finally emailed me and said, dude, let's do it, it's like, yeah, baby. So, hey, Brad, man, it's been a blast. Love talking with you. I definitely want to get you back on the show again, man. So thanks for joining us and dropping those knowledge bombs.
Thank you, Brian. Absolutely.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.